In our study together, we have taken time last time in the light of John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the word life is what we're looking at. What is life? And how is it that we can have it or not have it? And in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And the little verb to see from the Hebrew, see, to see, is to see with the eye, to experience something, to experience, to have an exercise, an experience of life. And so to see life is to have an exercise, an experience of it. So we asked ourselves, and we wanted to understand better, in the light of life, God, what is it that we don't have? We do have, but we don't have life. What is life? Now, you know, there's all kinds of ways to we handle the word life. We say one has a social life. We have physical life. Family life, societal life, economic life, work life, sport life. We have all kinds of ways we talk about life. We talk about it, and we use the word and use it. When we get caught up in any such approach, usage, when we get caught up in that, then we lose out, because then we're counting on work life, social life, or something else, to provide us with the riches and the resources that life is supposed to have. So when we say something like that, our sports life, our physical life, then you're counting on your physical life to provide you with all the benefits, and our physical life is faulty, wonderfully faulty, wonderfully wonderful at its best. And so now, in the light of that, so we want to take a look at life. And if I may, taking again, over if you would, please, you don't have to hold your finger. Go over with me to 2 Timothy. There's a word, life, there's a Greek word, life. And I'm going to give you the definition of that word. And here's an illustration of it. In chapter 2, verse 4, and it, picking up, if I may, no man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So you don't get involved with the affairs, the business, the handling of daily living. You don't get so tied up in it that you lose, you have, and you get no benefit from it. So this word life that's used here in verse 4 has to do with the kind of life that we have, the present state of one's existence, an account of one's personal life. And the easiest way to remember this, if you would, we have the word biography. Biography. And bio in the front is the word life. Life, life, life. Biography, that's this word. It means to tell about someone's daily life, how they live and what they do. Daily living. That's that life. And the basis for that kind of life is another kind of life, which we'll now look at. And if you would, all over in your Bible, to Ephesians, you aren't far away, Ephesians chapter 4. There's another kind of life, and that's the kind of life that is the basis of all physical life, spiritual life. And it means life in motion, the quickening, existing movement, the movement. We go and we say, if we have a person and they're in the mortuary, say, and they're dead, they're physically dead, And why do we say they're physically dead? Because they have zero life. They have no life. They have no way to move. They can't move their fingers. If they do, beware. If they do whatever, they can. They have no life. They're dead. Dead. Life is the exercise of quickening movement, movement, movement. When we have a little child, and we marvel at some little children sometime, we sit there, and they have such energy, and there's a good reason why they have it, more than we do, seemingly. And in the process, we say, the little child is full of what? Life. Full of life. Boy, do we wish we could be full of life like that. That's the word. Motion, motion, quickening, movement. Life. Moving. The exercise of existence. Moving. In Ephesians chapter 4, picking up in verse 18. Going directly, if I may, in the light of the context. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. There's your word we just looked at. Being alienated from the life of God. In other words, the life is missing. But the people, until they received it, they didn't have any life. But they had existence. But they did have some kind of life. Hang on. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And we read that in the scripture reading. The blindness of their heart. They're missing something. They have physical life. They're alive. But they don't have any life. What kind of life? What kind of movement? God. God. God's movement. They don't have that. Over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. And if I may, picking up, please, in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. That means we didn't have any life. We did have physical life, but we didn't have any life. But we were dead. Why are we dead? We're missing something. We're missing life. But we have life, but we don't have life. We have existence and movement, but we don't have it like God does. We don't have that kind of life. Chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So God has quickened, given us life, life, the quickening, the movement of life. And sliding down now in the light of that, verse 12, that, I'll read verse 11 for a little better context. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. In other words, the Jews called the Gentiles in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. That means foreigners. And you had it in chapter 4 and in verse 18, being alienated, I'm looking at 4:18 for a moment, having the understanding dark, being alienated from the life of God. And here's your word again, alienated, aliens, foreigners, we don't belong to the system. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers, that means we're not part of the family, strangers. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So God, you must make the difference. Somehow we have existence and wonderful physical life. We have that. But we don't have a life. So God, would you help us? So now, over please, if you would, to add, James chapter 4. James in chapter 4. And we're staying on the same word, so we don't have to, once you got it, James chapter 4. And if I may, verse 14. James 4 and 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. In other words, we have no idea. As long as our heart beats, we're going to keep going. And the clock isn't going to stop. So there's a good shot that we might make tomorrow. Whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? There's the word life. Your movement, you don't know that you're going to be able to move your body. You don't know that you're going to be able to get out of bed. You don't know that your heartbeat is going to pump. You don't know that. Your life, physical life, your life is but a vapor. In verse 14, that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Now that's our physical life. We all are familiar with it. We all live on planet Earth. We almost have 7 billion, or probably we do by now, by 7 billion people on planet Earth. And all of the other people that have lived have died, and they're been buried, and they're from dust. With dust we are, and dust we came from, dust we are, and dust we return to. And it's there. It's all there. No question. Everyone had their shot at human, earthly existence. And there, and we only have it for a little while, that's all. Now, if you would, to contrast that, over right next door, you aren't far away, chapter 7 in Hebrews. Chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews, I just want to pick up a phrase in the lovely ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He provides something that we don't have. He has something we don't have. He has a kind of life we don't. Ours is temporal and fragile and frail, faulty. Wow. But his is different. Chapter 7, Hebrews, picking up, please, in verse 16. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That means Melchizedek, remember, has no beginning and no end. Abraham begins and Abraham dies. The Aaronic priesthood is a normal one. The Melchizedek one is very special. The Lord Jesus, Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning and end. He comes and becomes to us the intercessor, the intermediator, the one who can get us to God safely and bring God to us safely, to bring us, God and man, together. Now, so thus, verse 16, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if I may, verse 16 again, who is made a priest, verse 16, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. I put 17 before 16, which is all right. And in verse 16, the power of an endless life. He has an endless life. Your life and mine is going to be terminated, like it or not, ready or not. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You're still going to go to the dust of the ground, no matter who you is, no matter who you are. You're going to the dust of the ground. And all of the exceptions that stood, I'm an exception, are where? In the dust of the ground. See, there are no exceptions. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect exception. Now, so here we are, the power of an endless life, the wonderful dynamo, of endless living, the wonderful power of life, movement, existence. Now, in the light of that, over to Book of Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. And we'll try to add to that. So this, the human frail life, and there's the same word, God's life, God's ability, his existence, his wonderful person movement is eternal, endless, and he has something we don't have. God is life. God made us to have physical life. God gave us physical existence life. God is, I-S, is life. He is life. Now, Romans chapter 6, and you will pick up, if I may, in Romans 6, and going to, we'll go directly to verse 9 to get a little bit context. You'll pick it up, I trust, as we read. Chapter 6, verse 9, Romans. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. In that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, what are we going to do with that information, with that expectation of benefit? Likewise, reckon, the word reckon, calculate, compute, computer, add mathematics. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But we're alive. We're alive physically. We come and go and move about. We do. We eat and drink, sleep. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but on the contrary, having physical life, exercise a unique, wonderful relationship you can have to God by the way of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings to us life. Whose life? God's life. Thus, the power of an endless life. So here we are living in a temporal, fragile one, and we're to reckon, we're in this, but don't count on this. Don't try to operate on your daily existence that my benefits and the resources that I need for my movement of my hand, for my eyes, for my nose, for my feet, don't count on that. Don't count on that, because that could vanish or change at any moment. Count on, reckon yourself dead to that. Don't count on that. Doesn't mean you don't use it responsibly. You don't use your common sense. Is that, you ever hear that? Common sense. Exercise good common sense based on biblical sense. And reckon yourself alive unto God. A unique relationship that we can have. God, the kind of life you have given it to the believing heart to exercise so that in their physical existence, they have the resource of a life that they don't have apart from you. They have the resources and the riches that belong to you. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We're dying, but don't get all upset about that. You're going to age, and you're going to have to adjust. I hate to tell you that. I wish I could tell you not to. But you're going to do it. You're going to get older, and you're going to age, and things that you had yesterday disappear. It's the way it is. You used to look nice in the mirror, and now you don't look so nice anymore, and you try to fix it. What can I tell you? You try to do the best you can. Do the best you can. But you're aging. You're in a mortal body. And the sooner you catch up with that, wouldn't it be great if we could go in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, so that when you're old, you will have learned well how to live in the light of being aging and adjusting. You'll know what life is about. It isn't about your physical life. Because their physical life, I've crucified your physical life. I've made it possible for you to have another life, another relationship, as we'll look at. In verse 13, neither yield ye your members, your arms, ears, nose, eyes, throat, feet, brain, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So inside, the person is going to look to God, reckon that God has done a wonderful thing in giving them a relationship to Him, and reckoning that, calculating on that, verse 13, the middle, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Would you reckon now that you have another way, another resource and riches that are there if you would exercise it? And we want to exercise it. God help us. But we need, God, you aren't limited. All your life provides all the riches and all the resources. Our kind of life is governed and conditioned by what we try to call life. And whether it's a good life or bad life, an easy life, a hard life, we try to work with it. But it doesn't ever carry the way to solve being alive on planet Earth. It always falls short. Whatever your life is, you call life, it will never answer all the things in your being. Never do it. It isn't meant to do it. It can't do it. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and so having this unique relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to exercise that relationship. Now, and it wouldn't hurt to ask ourselves, well, what is a relationship? After all, we use the word, and everything is related. But what does it mean to be a relationship? We can say life. Life is a relationship to your physical body, and you reap all the benefits. It's because you have a relationship to your physical body, person inside, and you know what happens. You go, and people go to work, and they do all the things they do. And they do them, and they say, why are you working? Because I need to work in order to get the resources to pay the bills and get the food and everything. And I want to keep my body and soul together. True? That's what they want. You'll hear it. I want to keep my body and soul. What are you worried about? I could die. And then there's no more me in here. I have to feed this existence. I relate. I'm related to my body. I want to take care of it. My body is related to me. It wants to take care of me. And so we're interacting. That's physical existence. Now, in the word related, refero, the Latin word, to bear, to carry, to bring, to draw back, to return, to restore to a given place, etc., and what it means is that in the relationship, the word, it means to go out from, and to bring back, to reach out and to bring back. Relationship, reaching out and bringing back. And in the process of that, so God, you want a relationship to us, a saving relationship. That's right. I'm going to reach out and give you, and I'm going to bring back from you, I'm going to take back. The relationship requires something coming back, a relationship. It makes you have to come back. So in the process, God, if I'm going to receive and have a relationship to you, then you're going to give me of yourself. You're going to give me of yourself. And thus, if you give me of yourself, then I am the beneficiary, and I am going to give back because of you. I'm going to give back what you give me. What are you going to give me? I'm going to give you myself in the person of Jesus Christ. So when I give you myself so that you can have a personal, direct, legal right forever sanctioned by God and history and eternity, a relationship to you. God, you give to me and I receive that relationship, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to give back to you. God, you're going to give me life, and I'm going to respond to it. How am I going to respond? Well, I'm going to respond in a most wonderful way. Now, a simple way that you understand, all of you, in some form or fashion, had a father. All of you had a father and a mother. And the father and mother, they are, you have a whole, there's all kinds of dear people that could be mothers, but you only have one. All kinds of wonderful people that could be fathers, but you only have one. And that is the one person, and the only person, father. Father, son. They have a relationship. The son is related to the father, and the son honors the father being the father, and the son allows the father to be the father and for him to be a son. The father allows himself to be the father and to be the father of a son. And it comes together, God, the father and son, the father giving of himself, the son giving of himself. As a son, as a father, they come together. In marriage, husband, wife, relationship. Work, you go to work, and you work for the company, and you have a relationship. You be there for them, they are there for you. You have a relationship going. Relationship. God, what are you looking for? You're looking for us to have a unique way to give back to you. To give back to you that which you give to us. You have it's called the saving relationship. What does the saving relationship involve? It involves life. L-I-F-E. God gives you life in his son. And you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And you reckon that that relationship is legit. And then you exercise it as one that is alive from the what? Dead. By way of Calvary's cross. And you exercise that life. Wow. Relationship. Not just plugging in things. Everything is related. And to how good it is depends on how much you're giving and taking. How much you getting and how much are you giving back. Taking and giving back. Showing how you're connected. How are you connected? Now, in the light of that relationship, looking to God. And remember, God saves. He wonderfully saves us and makes that relationship possible. He secures it. He secures it, how so? Because of his son. It's settled. As God never asked you about it. He isn't going to ask you about it. God did it himself, for himself, by himself. And God isn't going to ask anybody. God did it. Of all that the Father giveth me, he will say what? I lose how much? Nothing at all. God's doing so. You have to be careful you don't start plugging into God your feeling and your fears and your stuff, because you're trying to tell God how he has to operate and why he operates. And God doesn't operate because of our humanity and our failure. I mean, that's not good. I was going to say stupid, but it's not right. That's a stupid thing. You know he couldn't operate based on us. God wouldn't exist if it was up to us. And most people probably would be glad. They would be terribly, terribly out of place. Now, in the light of that, this relationship involves a relationship in your humanity to God's wonderful person. And so as you relate to God's wonderful person, he's going to help you see yourself. He's going to help you do that. You can't appreciate God unless you understand your own condition, your own heart. You and I are creatures by the way of the Creator. And we're to enjoy a wonderful, wonderful God in a wonderful way. A Creator. you know. Not like Pinocchio. Is it? Where's Pinocchio? Pinocchio, is it the wood? Am I right with the Pinocchio? I get it mixed up, you know. Wizard it was. What are you going to do? Here's Pinocchio. We aren't. We're little. We're little nothings. And God has given us the right to enjoy a wonderful, wonderful existence forever with Him. Because of Him. By Him. For Him. Wow. That's what life is. You have passed from death unto life. Wow. Now, and secondly, God, what do you do? Well, remember, relationship has to do with receiving and giving the relationship. And you show the relationship by the connection. What kind of connection do you have to God who gives you His life? You're able to say, thank you for the gift of eternal life. How do you say thank you for something you don't have? You say, thank you. Thank you, God. God, you love me. I don't deserve loving, but you love me. That's right. You love me. You give me excellent, wonderful hope, expectation, so that every step of the journey through time, I'm getting closer and closer to where I'm going to end up. And it's with you. And it's all about life. All about eternal life. They would not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. Now, so, and God, we're going to have hope, love, and we're going to go, God, and what? It's going to go, this relationship's going to regulate, going to, my desire, my duty, my direction. I have a relationship. Relationship. I would go to a certain house, make believe, well, I do. I go to a certain house, and when I want to have, when it's time to go home and find the refrigerator, ice chest, whatever, find the refrigerator and to find the bed, I have to go, I can't walk in any house. I have to find my house. My house. I go to my house because that's my home. I'm related to it. That's my bed. Understand? That's my toothbrush. That's where it is. I can go everywhere, but it isn't where I am. I have a relationship to my house. I have a relationship to my God. That's very personal. Not to just any system, not to a whole lot of hodgepodge of stuff. This isn't going to do anything. You write books and fill out everything. It ain't going to give me any life. It doesn't bring anything to me. All I have to do is always give and give and give. But I don't get anything. I don't receive anything. So it regulates me, this relationship. And this relationship does something wonderful for me. It reduces me down to my humanity. You know, one of the words that is the most awesome, the most hated word by our Lord God is the word pride. P-R-I-D-E. Of all of the things that humans do, the one that is the most atrocious is pride. Pride. When a creature seeks to exalt itself above the Creator, when we try to create by way of religious system, ritual, whatever you want to do, you can do all of it as much as you like. It's all our doing, and we're free. We like it because we can leave it, take it, change it, junk it. It doesn't matter. But you can't do that with the God of truth and the truth of God. You can't touch that. It's for real. You don't make anything true. We've said it 1,000 times. It either is or it isn't true. You don't make it true, and all of your votes and all of your money in the world can never make it true. God is true. And so we come to God, and God, you reduce us down to the right size so we can enjoy you. If we try to get too big, then you become too small. And we become God-sized instead of man-sized. I have a quick illustration that I have. Maybe. if I can do it, in the process. Now, you may not be able to see it, but there. That's a big zero. Zero, zero. Now, that's all. When you're all you're done, when all you're done, you've done everything you can, God will say, and you know Psalm 39 and all of that, when you've done the very best in your life, apart from the very best, I did a funeral, at the very best 15 seconds of your life. I mean, you couldn't, if you had to pick something, 15 seconds of your life, the very best 15 seconds of your life, apart from me, you got a zero. Apart from me, it's zero. Wood, hay, stubble. It's no good. If I'm not in it, it's no good. No matter the very best, and I tell you, and that 15, wouldn't it be good if you could pick 15 seconds and get your retirement pay on 15 seconds? 15 seconds, the best 15 seconds of your life, and they're going to value it and give you your retirement pay. Wow! But you can't do that with God. Can't do that. You have to include God. And when you include God like that, when you do that, God makes the nothing something. Understand? Now, what does God do for us in life to help us? This relationship. Now, if you can see this, you're pretty good. There's a little dot right in the middle of the zero. Are you testing your eyes? Just a little dot, isn't it? God's very big, and you're very little. Understand? And you'll enjoy God so much more than if you try to be very big and make God very small. You want to understand the way to enjoy God and the life of God is to put your life in His life. For me to live is Christ and to die is great advantage. When I put myself in the middle of God and I put myself there properly, I enjoy resources and riches. I enjoy benefits that in all of my working, coming, work, home, school, play, trying to make it all come out so I get happy and have they still have happy hours? Happy hours, you know. I think they started that when I was in engineering in California. Happy hours, you know. Wow. Happy hours. No, there's no hour that's happy that's going to fill in the resources for my life. My life. My wonderful life in God. Now, having said that, if I may, and keeping that, so the quality of life that you have, the quality of life, is God's. The only explanation for life is God. Do you understand? There is no other explanation. Everyone has physical life. No one's going to debate that. No matter where you live, no matter what culture you live in, you all have the same physical being. We all move our fingers. We all do it. The explanation of what you have as a believer is God. God's life. You should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. If you don't have it, the wrath of God abideth on you. Either you do or you don't. Wow. So now, having said that, and the quantity of life, you know, from Deuteronomy and Psalm, Proverbs chapter 3, is the length. How long does this relationship last? It lasts as long as God does. Well, how long does God last? He has no beginning and He has no end. He's the forever infinite God. And so, God, when I enter into a relationship to you, I enter into a relationship with breathing, and I have breathing, and my lungs are breathing, and your heart's beating, 100,000 times or something, and it all goes, and boom, 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 and when you hear that, you need to be concerned. If you hear it go boom, 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 you may want to check it, you know. But hey, here you are, and your heart's going. And I bet none of you have tallied how many times your heart is. How old are you? How old are you? And then count the times per minute, per day that your heart beats. I bet none of you are keeping track of your heartbeat, are you? I bet now I'd give you a real, real incisive figure. $10 if you could stand up and give me how many beats your heart has gone since you've been here in the world. You couldn't do it. No one does that. We don't care about it. We're indifferent to it. God, the quality of life is yours. The quantity of life is yours. It's everlasting life, wonderfully everlasting life. It just lasts and lasts, and it's measured by you. So my relationship to you, God, is going to last as long as you do. That's why it's called everlasting life. A relationship. You're going to give yourself to me as God, and I'm going to give myself to you as a creature saved by your grace. And we're going to come together. And you're going to give me the privilege of being a son, a child of God. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children. Children of you. Children. Father, children. Come together. How long does that last? It lasts forever. It lasts as long as God does. I had a relationship to my father, Aaron F. Parsons. And I had a relationship to him. And several years ago, I have no idea because I don't keep track of such things. Several years ago, he passed on. And I terminated my relationship to my dad. And before that, terminated my relationship to my mother. All over. But my relationship to God is never, never going to be terminated. It's never going to end. It's called eternal life. Wonderful life. And God is the standard. The standard for that life isn't how you had a bad day, a good day, your body isn't what it used to be, and all the different things you could talk about. You could be depressed and disappointed and discouraged and all of the words and line them all up. And when you're all done, that's your physical existence that you're having to live with. But there's another kind of life, and that's your relationship to God that isn't bothered by any of those things. God is never worried. God is never depressed. God is never disappointed. God is never discouraged. God isn't. And so when I try to look to God instead of myself, all of those words shrink. And instead of being discouraged, I get full of courage. Instead of just being disheartened, I get full of life, full-hearted, ready to go, full of my heart to go. You say, wow. So now, having said that, and keeping that, the life of God outlived is the will of God outworked. God, I want you to exercise your wonderful life in a most wonderful way. Now, God, in the process of all of that, in my physical life, and all of you are there physically, and all of you have in your physical life, your physical, historical being, you have all kinds of, in your daily existence, you have all kinds of things you have materially and socially and economically and all those different things, and you have them. They're benefits, they're there, and blessings, and we have them out here, but they're very temporal, very fragile. They're more in jeopardy today than they were yesterday because the job security and all of that stuff that used to be yesterday, you know, you'd work for Joe's sweatshop, and when you're done, Joe's sweatshop keeps going, and you're there to get the benefits, and you've paid into it and done all that stuff. But that isn't secure today. So God, here we are looking for our physical benefits. And all of you are going to go somewhere today, have something to eat. How's that? Are you? Some of you aren't sure. I'll be glad to get your lunch if it's a question for you, to get you something. Are you? And you're going to get something somehow. Are you benefiting from spiritual life? That's what I know. You've got physical life, and you're going to go and eat and exercise that relationship. How about spiritually? Where is the benefit you're getting from spiritual life? To say it easier, God. How come, where is God in his wonderful person, presence, power? God, where's the benefits we're getting? God, we need to have those benefits. We need to look to those benefits. And God, you have made it wonderfully possible for me, for you, for each of us to be successful. Not in ourselves, but in who you are. And God, you made it possible for us to lock onto life. We didn't have anything about physical life. We just came into being, not of our choice. But our physical life gave us, this physical life that you have, gives you the benefits of being alive on earth. If you weren't alive on earth, you could never go to have a piece of pizza. You have to be physically alive. You didn't have a choice in that. You came in and you didn't make a choice. But on your exit, before your exit, you have the right to make a choice for spiritual life. And God allowed you to have physical life so that you could choose and have a wonderful relationship to Him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you have made it possible for us to have another kind of relationship where you give of yourself to us, and we in turn receive from you and give back to you our heart, our mind, our body to enjoy you on your terms, not on our frail, faulty, no, not on that, but on your terms, God, to be able to enjoy you, who you are, to have eternal life where you live in a body that is dying. True. And right now, all the trillions of cells in your body are dying, aren't they? They're all dying and being replaced, and one day they're going to run out. And you're living in a body of death, physically alive, able to move, but you don't have the wonderful life of God that provides all the benefits and all the blessings and all of the bliss and happiness that God gives. You have to be willing to be very small. Proud, you'll lose out. You got to shrink and eat humble pie. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, God. Who are we? Deal with our heads and deal with our hearts and teach us well. God, we don't want to be stoops. God, we want to understand. We don't want to walk around and not even know why we're here or what we're doing, where we're going. God, help us. And we'll thank you very much. And for those who know you not as their Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into their heart and be saved. God, for those of us who say we're saved, God, let us be saved. Let us enjoy our God. Not let us make our physical existence, our physical life, be the basis for our enjoyment of your life. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing, please, stanza 268. 268. Appreciate your patience.